Hi, thank you for having me on your podcast. I feel privileged that I'm getting this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Bruce, for giving me a valuable time to share your work to my audience.
Looking forward to it, for sure.
So I've gone through your profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience. So can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Sure. So I guess I would start by saying I help buyers finance lower middle market M&A transactions. It's a generational transition from mostly what we call baby boomers, which are business owners between 60 and maybe 75 that have run businesses for the past 20 or 30 years. They're looking to exit and have a liquidity event. And then there's a core of young buyers who are looking to acquire these businesses, keep them going, keeping people employed, paying taxes and all the like. And they need financing in which to help facilitate that transaction. So they come to a banker like me who has experience in doing that. And I then provide them a loan to help facilitate that acquisition. And generally, I'm working on transactions with an enterprise value of $3 million to $8 million. So that's my space. It's right below what we call the private equity groups who buy businesses with $2 million in EBITDA and above. I'm generally playing in a space lower than that. And it's just to help facilitate that transaction and help that deal get to the closing table. So that's what I do every day and have been doing for the past 9 years. So yeah, specifically in what we call the search fund space, where you have folks that generally come out of an MBA program like Harvard or Wharton or Stanford, Kellogg or Booth. When they go to school these days, when I went to school, it was, okay, come out, get married, buy a house, raise a family. Today, it's a lot different. These young folks are coming out of school and they're like, don't do that. Go buy a business, create some wealth, and then have an exit down the road and, you know, be on with your life. So it's a great program. We're very familiar with it. And yeah, we're looking to lend to those folks who are, you know, got really good backgrounds, have some money, although you don't need a ton because they raise the additional monies that they require through investors, and then come to a bank like First Bank of the Lake to help get the rest to facilitate the acquisition.
So which businesses comes to you most of the time?
So it's not necessarily businesses. It's people that are out there searching for all types of businesses. So it could be a roofing business. It could be an HVAC business. It could be a SaaS business. It could be an e-commerce type of business, depending upon what it is that they sell. So it really is all types of businesses. We're pretty, what we call, industry agnostic. We'll look to lend if it's a good deal and it makes sense and it's a good transaction for all the parties. We're going to really take a good look at it. But I have, of course, my businesses that I prefer and businesses that I don't lend to. And you know, because you've seen me on Twitter, I guess now the X platform is what they call it. So I don't like to finance what I call want businesses. I like to finance what I refer to as need businesses, you know, a roofing business, which is to me a very sustainable business. We could get up in the morning and our roof could be leaking and it doesn't matter if we want to fix it or we don't. We have to, right? If we live in the house, we have to fix the roof. So to me, that's a need business, not a want business. A want business for me is an ice cream store. You know, you don't need ice cream to live. You could want it, right? But so I don't finance those kind of businesses, but I would say we're pretty industry agnostic and we'll lend to, you know, pretty much any kind of business that makes sense that we feel is a very sustainable business. Most people ask me, Bruce, what's the key when you look at lending? And I always am very transparent and always, it's the same answer no matter how many podcasts I do. It's all about sustainability, how sustainable that business is, why it's in business, why it will continue to be in business, you know, what makes sense for us to lend to that business. And it starts with, is it sustainable? Is it going to be around arguably 3, 5, 7, 10 years from now? Most of these transactions are facilitated through an SBA 7A loan, which is for an acquisition transaction. They're 10 years. So as a buyer, you want to make sure you can buy it and then hopefully you're going to sell it, right? At some point in time, hopefully on your own terms and conditions. And you want to make sure that it's around to do that. So sustainability, not necessarily a particular type of business, if that makes sense.
So you are majorly working for United States and the States belongs to US.
Yeah, so we lend through what we call the U.S. Small Business Administration 7A loan programs. These are loans that are made to individuals but guaranteed to the bank up to 75% of the loan amount. If it's a small loan amount, that amount increases. But it's really designed to facilitate transactions that may not be creditworthy on conventional terms and conditions. So when we look at an SBA 7A loan, the reason that most businesses or buyers use that is because when there's a change of ownership and there's new borrowers coming in to run that business, you don't have a three-year track record of success. Or perhaps there's not enough collateral in the deal. Or perhaps you need a longer repayment terms. SBA loans are for 10 years, where a conventional bank loan may be between 5 to 7 years. But those extra years that we can pull out the loan from an amortization standpoint helps the cash flow. So really, they're very good loans, but there's reasons that they don't fit into a conventional bank loan model. And that's why the SBA was designed and created in the early 50s. It was a direct loan program up until the 80s when they changed it over to a guarantee program. And so when we look to make these loans, we want the SBA guarantee to help us with those mitigants that perhaps the collateral isn't there, it's new change of ownership, the longer terms and repayments which are necessary. So that's why we look to the SBA 7A loan program.
And what kind of documents it is required for any business to have loan?
Yeah, so the documentation is pretty standard. You know, we need to see the last 3 years' tax returns for the business. We want to see current financials. We want to see information on the borrower. We want to see a really good business plan. When you're working with a lender who's familiar with the space, they'll generally have a checklist that they'll provide the borrower to make it easy. Hey, here's all the documents that we're going to need. Here's what's required. Most people set up a share file or a Dropbox or any other kind of, you know, safeguard, and they just drop the documents in there. But when a person calls me and says, Bruce, we want to start the process with you, what documents are required? We give them a checklist, which I can make available to you and you can provide to any of your listeners for sure. It was actually created by one of my clients who said to me, Bruce, I'm going to make this really easy. I'm going to make it in an Excel spreadsheet and you can pass it on to other clients. I said, great. And so that's what I've been using for the past, you know, several years, and it's just makes it very easy and it's very well organized. He did a great job organizing it. So we make that list available, and therefore when we get the documents, it's not difficult to get a loan, truthfully, especially in today's environment with the ease of, you know, DocuSign, checklist, getting the information from the broker. Generally, a broker is representing the seller for, you know, who's selling the business, and they have a data room filled with information. So it goes pretty quickly.
So how is your experience in this role from last 9 years?
From the last 10 years?
Is that? Yeah.
It's been great. I think from a lending perspective, I'm very proud of the transactions that we've closed because they've all done really, really well. And so I'm proud of that, knowing that I've made the right choice. I always like to say, I like to bet on the right jockey who's riding the horse, which is the guy who's buying the business, right? So it's worked out extremely well. You know, a lot of people will ask, you know, well, I'm concerned because I have to provide a personal guarantee on these loans. What happens if? And just, you know, happy to report, I really can't say what happens if, because, you know, most of these transactions, there is a default rate, of course, but it's pretty low. But if you're buying the right business with the right cash flow and you're the right person to be running the business, then the chances are well in your favor that it's going to be successful and it's going to really work out well, right? And so, you know, my experience over the past 10 years has been awesome. I've brought this model, what we call the search fund model, to my prior bank and then here to First Bank of the Lake. And it's worked out extremely, extremely well for everybody, right? It's when you have a willing buyer and a willing seller and a willing lender, that's how you get deals done, right? And so, yeah, we're getting deals done for sure.
So what's your best experience?
Best experience in terms of what?
Doing your work.
What's been my best experience doing my work? That's a great question. I'm glad that you asked. I'm very blessed and fortunate that I get up to do what it is I do that I love, right? I love what it is that I do. And I don't have to do it anymore, which is really a different take. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know you love what to do. You know you love what you do and you'd rather be doing it than not, right? So I get that choice. I don't have to work anymore, but I choose to work because I love doing this. And the reason I love doing it and what's been the greatest for me is it's impactful, Sai, right? This is real impactful, life-changing events for young entrepreneurs where they're now going to be in a position to create wealth for them and their families as, you know, they grow older. And so to me, the best part of what I've done over the past 10 years is I've closed, I don't know the number, but well over $350 or $360 million in transitional value. And maybe that translates into, I don't know, 100 loans, let's say. That's 100 lives that I've helped. And that's impactful. And the core of what First Bank of the Lake and Advantage Capital, which is also owned by the owner and the majority owners of First Bank of the Lake, that is our key word, being impactful. It serves a purpose to the community. It serves a purpose to the people that work inside that business. It, you know, when you buy a small business, there's a lot of purse strings being pulled at that small business. That small business has got to exist to pay the owner, pay the bank, maybe pay the seller if there's a seller note, pay its employees, pay its suppliers, be there for its customers, impact in its community. That small business has a lot of purse strings pulling at it. And so I think that being a part of that and being impactful is my legacy in this space, right? A lot of people will call and say, Bruce, it's great. You know a lot of people and a lot of people know you and you're helping a lot of people. That's reality, right? That's real. And, you know, when you get up in the morning, if you can do that and change some people's lives along the course of your own life, it becomes extremely impactful.
So how you can help young entrepreneurs like me?
Yeah, so we do it all the time. So just by way of example might be a great a great help to your listeners. So, for example, somebody decides that, you know, they're working for 5 years or 7 years. They've got experience. Maybe they go back to school. Maybe they don't. But they don't want to work in corporate America anymore, right? So they decide, hey, I want to go buy a small business. So I had tweeted about this last Saturday. It got, I don't know, about 116,000 views of the post. So it was pretty well received. And it was the story of a young gentleman who had worked for 10 years in the workforce, and he decided, I'm done. I want to go buy a small business. And he had $30,000 to invest. He raised $250,000 with investors, and he bought a $2 million business. There was some working capital and closing costs in there, so it drove the value to $2.3 million. But the business was throwing off over $600,000 in cash flow. And so if you look at it and you say, okay, after a normalized salary, and I'm paying the seller a little bit, interest only maybe, some on standby, and I'm paying the bank, there's still a couple of $100,000 left. Well, you know, an SBA loan is for 10 years. So I posted that, you know, perhaps the first year he doesn't take as much, maybe the second year he takes a little bit, but in year 3 through 7, there's this excess cash flow, you know, of a couple of $100,000. And then if you do nothing but sell the business for a very similar price 10 years from now, you literally can take, as a young entrepreneur, $30,000 and turn it into over $3 million. And I don't know anywhere else, it would take you a long time to do that. If you put $30,000 in the bank at 5%, I don't think you'll ever get there. Maybe you will over 40 or 50 years, but certainly not in 10. But that's how I help young entrepreneurs, where it's more about lending to good, I call it the 3 G's of a good deal, lending to good people, buying good businesses with good, strong cash flow. And when you add that mix into the blender, it's going to come out with a really good result, right? And so, yeah, that's how I can help young entrepreneurs who are looking to buy a business. The search fund model is just a phenomenal structure for folks who want to buy a business, don't have a lot of money. The SBA is a cash flow lender. They're not a collateral lender. A lot of times people will say, well, how much collateral do I need, you know, to take down a $2 million loan? None. It's not about that, right? Because collateral hopefully will never be an issue or never be needed if we lend to the right person buying the right business with good, strong cash flow. And in banking, in conventional banking source, they look at it differently. They do want collateral. The personal guarantee does matter. You know, the term does matter. You know, it's just a different way of looking at a transaction. But this model certainly helps young entrepreneurs buy a business, create wealth for them and their family, and for hopefully down the road, sell it. And who knows for how long, right? Like you don't know how long. You could have it for 10 years, 15, 20, 30. It just depends upon what everybody's desire is. So that's how we help young entrepreneurs.
So how is, tell me about your recent experiences.
Sorry, say again. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tell me about your recent experiences.
Experiences with what?
About your work.
About my work. So recent experiences about my work is it is extremely, extremely robust. Business is off the charts. I'm one person, and sometimes I get up and I'll get into the office really early and I'm working really, really late. I work on the weekends. It's constant work because business is so robust. I don't think interest rates and the increase of them have affected the business or my business model or my deal flow. You know, people were concerned with, well, how are these deals going to pencil out with the higher interest rates? Well, multiples that I am seeing, and I'm just one person, right? So I saw it's just me, have definitely come down. Deals that are being purchased at 4.5 and 5 multiples, either you need a much larger seller note or a much larger equity injection into the deal to make the deal work. But business is extremely robust. It's a great space. I haven't seen any slowdown in business at all. And I would tell you my experiences, it's kind of like, I call it the snowball effect. I'll tell you why. If you've got a snowball at the top of the mountain and it starts to roll downhill, obviously everybody knows it's going to be a lot bigger by the time it gets to the bottom, right? And when I look at this business model and I look at the number of schools that are now teaching ETA, which is entrepreneurship through acquisition, and the number of graduates that are coming out of those schools, in addition to the number of conferences around the search fund space, boot camps around the search fund space, books around the search fund space, it is just growing astronomical. And so this model is very well accepted now in the business brokerage community, where 5 years ago it wasn't, to be truthful. And so the snowball effect is just the number of deals that are rolling downhill that need to get to the closing table. So my experience has been, for me personally, the last 5 years, you know, and you would think through COVID, right, that it would have slowed down. So, you know, 2019 was my best year. 2020 was my best year. 2021 was my best year. 2022. And, you know, in 2023, I'm going to, you know, surpass 2022. So it's just a tribute to the education that's out there, the knowledge of this model that's out there, the tremendous amount of people and the quality of the people in the space. You know, through X, formerly Twitter, the people on that platform are just top notch. I mean, you've just got some phenomenal folks out there who are willing to share, who are willing to help, who are willing to educate, who are willing to basically help other people get to where they are. I find it, people are so willing and it's so collegial and people aren't looking to hold things close to the vest. Everybody's just so giving in this space. And I think for me, as I've been on Twitter/X for the past year and a half, I've grown from zero, obviously, to over 22,000 followers. And I look at the people on that platform and their willingness to help others. And it's just tremendous. It's just absolutely tremendous. And I think social media has been a lot and has done a lot for this space as well. Right? I'm only on one social media platform. Everybody says, oh, you need to get on this one, this one, this one. One's enough. I don't know if I can do more than one, but it's certainly the recognition of the model, the recognition of the space, social media, that snowball is just continuing to roll downhill, my friend. So that's my experience, which is all great, by the way. It's great.
So is it same for you to do the service or to help individuals or businesses which belongs to or who belongs to different industries?
Yeah. I mean, there's all different kinds of, you know, when I look at a business, I get very granular on the type of industries that they're borrowing, you know, what's happening in that industry. Look, to me, it's very important when somebody calls me up and says, hey, Bruce, I'm looking to buy this business. There's a few first, if you will, questions I ask. One of the first is why is the seller selling? Because you want to know what's happening in that industry. What don't I know? Is there something happening and that's facilitating his sale, right? Like, what is it that I don't know? I also ask three other major questions. When was the last time the seller took a vacation? Where did he go and for how long? So if he's living in, I'll use Florida, which is where I live. If he's living in Fort Lauderdale and he says, yeah, I went to Miami for 2 days. That's a business you don't want to buy, right? Because that's a me business. That's okay. The business is surviving because of me and what I bring to the business. You want to be buying the business where the seller says, yeah, I went to Italy for a month and I checked in once in a while, right? I mean, then you know that's a very sustainable, well-run, managed business. They've got maybe a secondary tier of management running that business, right? That's the one you wanna buy because you know it's sustainable. So when we look at the industries, there's certain industries that as a lender, I don't like to lend to, but that doesn't mean it's not a good deal. It just means that I don't like it. I did a podcast last weekend and I had talked about a searcher who had come to me and said, hey, Bruce, I want to buy a business. It's a light manufacturing business. And I said, okay, we do manufacturing. What do they manufacture? And he said, kayaks. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why? It's a good business. It might be. But to me, that's a want business. Like, okay, I want to go kayaking. I'll buy a kayak. I could go rent one probably, but that to me is just not a business that I would lend to because it's just a discretionary purchase. It's a want purchase. It's not a need purchase. Nobody needs a kayak to live, right? I guess maybe if you're in the water and you got to get from point A to point B, it might be a different story, but maybe you're up in Alaska or something. I don't know. But for me, that's not a type of business that I would lend on. Even though as an industry, we lend to manufacturers, I drill down and get very granular into the business and the business model because I'll tell you why. As a borrower, you can't be wrong. You're signing a personal guarantee when you apply for and receive an SBA loan. That's one of the program requirements. People ask me all the time, Bruce, is there any way to get around it? And the answer is no. If you're getting an SBA loan, a program requirement is they require at least one personal guarantor, and it's generally the operator. And so you don't want to sign on the dotted line for a $3 million transaction that you hope is going to work out. So I've been a business owner for 13 years. I own some businesses now. I've been a senior commercial lender in a bank. You know, I have an MBA degree. I'm a certified M&A advisor. I've gone through the valuation process. So I take all that experience and I utilize that in helping the searcher make what I would believe is a good decision. And if I don't, I walk. It doesn't mean it's not a good deal or they can't get it done. It's just for me, I would rather walk than do a deal that doesn't work out well. Not for me, but for the searcher. This is not about me. I stated before, I'm very fortunate. I'm blessed. I get to come to work in the morning and do what it is I love, not because I have to, because I want to. That's a choice. It's a choice to be doing this. It's a choice to be working 10 hours a day. But, you know, my family has grown and my kids are grown. And what else would I be doing? So I do this. And I love it. And so, but I take my job very seriously. And I want to make sure that if I am being impactful, it's for the right reasons, not just to make a loan, if that makes sense. And in the wrong industry, to your point.
Great. Yeah. So as a technologist, as a technology guy, as an engineer, I'm curious how you help technology businesses to grow.
So, you know, we're certainly willing to lend to technology businesses. I think that, you know, obviously it's got to be the right technology. You don't want to be lending to a company that's coming out with 8-track players. That's probably before your time. You don't know what that is. But it's an old technology, right? So, you know, with technology, it's ever-changing. You just have to make sure that, you know, and truthfully, I would be relying on somebody like you. I would be relying on you to tell me, hey, Bruce, this is why this is a good space to lend in. Here's why. You know, it was interesting. I was speaking with a friend of mine the other morning, and he said to me, you know, I bought a stock, and the stock, the company does batteries for electric cars. And you would think that that stock would just be skyrocketing now. But he says, I've owned it over a year, and it's dropped like 60% in value. It's not Tesla, obviously. He said, and I'm just really, really surprised. And I said, well, I asked him, well, are they up to date with the latest technology? Is that, you know, so as a searcher who's going to buy that type of business, and if it's in a space where you have an expertise, I'm going to ask you, tell me why this is so right. Tell me why this is the right technology. Tell me why this isn't going to become obsolete in 3 to 5. If you're asking for a 10-year SBA loan, and obviously you want to sell the business at some point, right? That's why you buy it here, you add value, you grow it, and you sell it for a much larger price than what you paid for it. It's a perfect question to ask you as the searcher. Educate me. Tell me. Convince me. Show me. Because if you're doing that, you're supplying those same answers to you as to why it's the right bet, right? You don't want to bet on the wrong business, and you don't want to bet in the wrong industry. And so a lot of times people will come to me and say, what kind of due diligence does the bank require? And I'll throw it back onto the searcher and say, tell me the due diligence you've done. Tell me why it's the right one. Make sense? You know, it's a two-way street. So we both can, when you get into a transaction, a key is how do you de-risk that transaction? And the more you can de-risk it, the better that transaction becomes. So hopefully that makes sense.
So some things that people don't notice when they come to you, what are they?
What don't they know when they come to me? What they don't know is how I can be a resource for them in making sure that the business is right for them. What they don't know is they read, oh, here are the SBA rules and regulations. And they think that applies to every bank, and it does not. So the SBA, what I call, is the canvas to the umbrella. And then when you turn over that umbrella, you have all these different spokes that hold up the canvas. Those I call are the banks, right? So what they don't know is they'll come to me and say, oh, I understand that, I'll give you an example, you need a lease, if you don't own the property, to match the length of the loan. That is not true. But because it's out there, they think that that applies and every bank is going to adhere to that. So they'll come to me and say, oh, I have a great business that I'm buying. Let's take that kayak example. Yes, that's an eligible loan request. It's just not a deal that I'm going to do. So what they don't know is that every bank is different. Every bank's policy is different. Every bank's credit box is different. And they have to do their diligence as a buyer to make sure. I like to compare it like this. Let's say I'm hungry and I want some food. Well, I'm not going to go to a Chinese restaurant if I'm interested in pizza, right? And I'm not going to go to a Greek restaurant if I'm looking for, you know, American food. So you have to find out who you're dealing with, what that bank likes. There's several folks out on Twitter that will post about, oh, the SBA allows for a seller note on standby to act as equity. That is true. But some banks treat it differently in the way that they underwrite it for cash flow purposes. So maybe you go to one bank and they say to you, well, it doesn't work because this is the way we underwrite the cash flow. And you'll come to me and I'll say, yes, it works. Well, how? Bank A said it didn't. Right. So I think what they don't know, and there's a lot of public sharing about SBA type transactions in the marketplace. And it's a great question that you ask, and I'm thrilled that you did. And it gives me the opportunity to say every bank is different. You have to find out what that bank likes and what they don't like. Just because you think one rule is an SBA rule, it may or may not be. So do your diligence to find out if your transaction is going to work with the bank that you are approaching. Make sense?
Yeah. So what is the big business that you helped for, and what is the small business that you helped for?
So a big business that we did, which was just a phenomenal business, I did several years ago. It was a gentleman out in Utah. He was buying a construction related business. It was a very interesting transaction. He had signed the purchase price for $7.5 million. And when he came to me, he said, Bruce, I'm going to put in $1 million. The seller has agreed to hold a note for $1.5 million, and I'd like a $5 million SBA loan. I said, okay. So when I first got the transaction, I lifted up the hood and I started to look underneath to examine the engine, so to speak. And I said to him, you're buying a great business. It's throwing off a lot of money. It's been around for a long time. You have great experience. You've owned a construction company. I love the transaction, but you've missed a huge component of the business. And that is, it needs $2.5 million in working capital. So it's not a $7.5 million deal. It's a $10 million deal. Now, how are we going to find the financing for that $2.5 million? And he said, well, there's several banks that there's several what we call mezzanine lenders that might look at that. You know, maybe I can get a loan for an asset-based line to fund the working capital. Maybe I can get a conventional line of credit. And I said to him, that's fine, but just realize you're not buying the business for 7.5. You're buying it for 10 million. Because if you don't include the working capital and it's needed in that business, and every business needs working capital, you're buying it. If it doesn't come with the purchase, you're buying it. And so he said, okay. So he came back to me after 1.5 months and said, I can't find anybody who's going to do this. And I said, yeah, that makes sense, because who's going to come second behind an SBA $5 million first loan? I said, here's what needs to happen. The seller needs to take an additional note for $2.5 million, but since it's working capital, it can be on a short-term basis. But the seller is going to basically have to finance that $2.5 million to bridge that gap. And so that's what the seller did. We ended up closing that transaction. It worked out extremely well. At that time, I was not doing what we call peri pursue, which is an additional bank strip behind the SBA $5 million. And the seller ended up taking $1.5 million note, a $2.5 million separate note for the working capital. The buyer put in $1 million. We did a $5 million loan, and we closed that $10 million transaction. So that was a transaction where, and I spoke to you about this before, where we had a willing buyer, a willing seller, and a willing lender to make the deal work, and we did. And the borrower was just a fantastic guy, great experience. The deal worked out extremely well. One of the smallest deals I did, which was very interesting, and this was, I'm not going to date myself, but I'm going to date myself 30 years ago. And I remember so distinctly because last year I went to a bank that I am very friendly with, the senior lender, had invited me to a bank Christmas party. And when we got there, it was phenomenal, and the food was just over the top. And I said to him, where did you get the food? And he mentioned the caterer. And I went, that name sounds very familiar. Are they located XYZ? And he said, yes. Do you know them? I said, very well. I made them a loan 30 years ago. And I actually, at that time, had my own business. So I was working with borrowers who needed to get SBA loans. And so I was the consultant that helped this gentleman start this restaurant. And it was a small loan, but it was so impactful. I mentioned that word, so I want to share why. This was a gentleman who was in the Army. He had served for 10 years. Came out, and it was always his goal to own a restaurant. And I helped he and his wife start this restaurant. It was local. It was here in Boca Raton, Florida. And he has since passed, but his legacy lives on, and his restaurant lives on. And here it is 30 years later, and I'm at an event. And this restaurant, and it was a small transaction. It was, you know, sub $400,000 at the time. But that's impactful to know that the name is still on the front door. They're still in business, and they've flourished. They've expanded. They've got a catering line. I mean, it's just a tremendous success story. And the wife, when he passed, was able to transition out, and she ended up selling the restaurant's catering division to her manager. So it was a transitional plan. So it was just a great outcome, and one that I'm very proud that I helped get into business 30 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what do you say to the international people who will be listening to our conversation?
It's it's tough. I've met many people from the UK. I've met many people from Canada. And they unfortunately don't have a US Small Business Administration loan program to lean against to help facilitate transactions like we do here in the United States of America. What I would say to them is, in your search, obviously you're going to be leaning more heavily on seller financing, right? So the seller's got to take a much bigger piece of the pie. What I would tell you is I'm not sure, but size matters. And here's why. Generally, and I'm going to put exclamations around that sign on generally, that the smaller the transactions, the more difficult it actually is to get financing, because the sellers who have done a great job running their business generally don't run it for profit. And then what they want to do at the end is sell it, and their books and records are not going to pass with getting financing from the bank, if that makes sense. So what I've seen in my illustrious career, and I'll make a joke about that, right, is that generally the smaller the transactions, when I speak to sellers, they'll say, well, I don't want to report, you know, all my income because I don't want to pay taxes. And again, I don't know how it is internationally, whether that is true or false. So I make that summation. But what I do know about it is that it's kind of like if you're selling a house. If you put your house on the market and the lawn is cut and it's got a fresh coat of paint, and you had a company come in and say, hey, do an inspection beforehand. What is it that you found wrong? Let me fix it. Before you go to market, That house is now in a position to sell and probably will sell fast, right? Because it's got the curb appeal. There's not much wrong with it. You've already had the inspection, right? So I would say if I'm a seller, I should do the same with a business that I have for sale. Let me run through that inspection process. Are my books and records clean? Does it show wealth? Will I basically get the curb appeal from a buyer who might want to buy this business? Because at the end of the day, what holds true, whether you're in the UK or whether you're in London or whether you're in Canada, if you're buying a business, you're buying it for the money that it generates. So as a seller, I want to put my best foot forward because I want to get as much as I can, not the other way around. Right. So when people are doing their due diligence, I want to make sure that that business reflects exactly what it is that the business does and what the business earns so that I can get the purchase price I want as a seller. And perhaps then they can go to a bank. And then what I would tell you is a banking relationship matters. It matters who you bank with because you might need them. You might need them for financing. I don't know if they have in other parts of the country or the other parts of the world, like home equity loans. If people own a house, whether they can go get a loan against it to buy the business. I don't know. I have created this strategy to several people when they come to me and say, Bruce, you know, we're looking for $100,000. We want to buy this business. The seller is willing to hold the note for, you know, $100,000 or $150,000. It's a $250,000 acquisition. Where can I raise up the $100,000? Well, here in the United States, if you have good credit, which you would need to borrow money anyway, there's credit cards out there. You can go get a $25,000 credit card. You can go get another $25,000 credit card. You can go get enough. And in fact, that's what I did when I owned my own small business many, many years ago. I literally went and said, okay, I know I have good credit. I work in a bank. And I went to Chase Bank and I got a $25,000 quote unquote credit card. But they come with credit checks and I could use that at my disposal. There was a company called MNBA or MNBA, I can't remember the exact, NMBA or something. And I went and I got $25,000 from them. And then I went got $25,000 from American Express Small Business. And then $25,000 from Capital One Spark. And I lined up these credit cards, but it gave me over $100,000 in a credit available if I wanted to do something. And I used that and had that as my working capital line of credit while I have my business. And it worked, right? Because doesn't cost you anything. You just go get it. So it was a great strategy. It worked out well. And so, you know, I know that there's been many folks on the Twitter/X platform who reach out to me from Canada and the UK. That's why I use those examples. And I know they've said, we don't have anything like the SBA, but there's a lot of searchers that you can lean on for help who might have There's some great folks in Canada. There's some great folks in the UK. I've got followers from Dubai that reach out to me. I have followers from you know, London that reach out to me. Followers from all over the place, to be truthful, kind of like you, like your audience is. How many countries? Good for you. I should be interviewing you, probably not the other way around. You know, so many followers all over the place. And so you reach out to these folks that are in your community and ask them what they've done. How have you done it? What strategies have you used that have been successful? Because like I said, the ecosystem in this space is just very collegial and very giving. So I don't know if that helps, but it's what I know to be true.
So I'll share your web links with my audience in the description of this video on YouTube, also on my website as well. People who finds my website can able to see the work that you're doing and can see the service that you're providing.
Great, thank you. Awesome. Yeah, delighted to have been here and share with your listeners. And if anybody wants to follow along, as you know, I write War Stories Saturday on every Saturday. And my handle on Twitter/X platform is at SBABMarks, at SBABMarks. And if anybody wants to follow along, I love providing value and content that hopefully will help and be impactful for other folks buying businesses.
I'll put your Twitter handle on the screen as well. People who finds our video on anywhere in the internet can able to connect you and can learn from you.
Perfect. Well, this has been great. I appreciate you having me on.
So one last observation, as a person who has been in banking and as a person who is into businesses and handling businesses, seeing a lot of wealth and wealth creators and creating wealth and providing wealth to the lot of professionals and individuals and businesses. What is your observation about my work? What is your observation about my work?
Your work. It's phenomenal. The more you can spread the word, the better, right? And you're providing content, you're providing valuable information, you're having guests on who can be really impactful to those in the audience that you serve. So kudos to you. I wish I knew about technology like you do, but I'm glad to be part of it. So continue the great work. Awesome. It's terrific. And I applaud you for it.
I personally did master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now, I'm doing some DevOps engineering projects for a UK company. So apart from that full-time role, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the different industries and who belongs to different countries and who are serving the world in different ways to humanity. So how this project is going to be helpful in my future or in my career?
Well, that's up to you, right? You set that direction, right? That's the beauty of what it is you do. Get up in the morning, love what it is you do, spread the word, and be impactful. And you're finding ways to do that. So congratulations to you.
Thank you, sir. Can I put this video and audio clip on my podcast website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
You have my permission to do so.
And on YouTube.
On YouTube. Anywhere and everywhere. Spread the word. I'm all for it.
Thanks again for your valuable time, Bruce. Keep going and keep inspiring people.
Thank you. This has been great. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, sir. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.